Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few. And he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
Recording started.
Prophet Laron Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
Good morning to each and every one of you here on Blog Talk. And the prophetic conference line. We thank and praise God for you this morning. Hallelujah. And we certainly honor the spirit of the living God. We want to, hallelujah, be blessed on today. Oh, my God. God is talking today. God is talking today. And this is, you don't want to miss, hallelujah, our topic on today. So tweet, call, text, do something, hallelujah. Let somebody know it is a hot topic on the table. Amen, hallelujah. In our Let's Talk About It, amen. So we're going to allow Brother Sidney to come and pray this morning, and then we're going to come back for commercial and ask administrative if there's any questions, and we're going to talk about it. Amen. All right, Mother Sidney.
Amen. Good morning, Dr. Wilson.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You said a hot topic. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to confess this morning. We want to thank you for another day of rest, Lord, another night of rest, Father God, that you allow this body, let our spirit to rest, God. But we thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy that you have touched us, Lord God. You touched our spirit, and you told the spirit to awaken, Lord God. And we are grateful today, Father God. Lord God, we apply the blood of Jesus over the line. And Father God, we apply the blood of Jesus over the speech, Lord God. We ask you that your word our lips pray, Father, and let your word, Father, come out and do them in power, let healing, let deliverance, Lord God, whatever need to be on the line with the people need, Lord God. Let them receive it on today. We continue to hold up the visionary of the line, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, and we decree and declare strength over his body. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, rest in the spirit, Father God. And we just thank and praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, that you're allowing his spirit man, his natural body, Father God, to receive the rest that is needed in this hour and time, Father God. Oh, Father, we thank and praise you for all things, Lord God. And as we continue, higher, the Boshaya. Look to the hill, for we'll cover thy help. Our help comes from the Lord. And we thank you, Lord God. We pray for the bereaved families, for all those that have experienced a loss in their life, God, and their families, Lord God. Lord God, we pray, Father, that you will heal, Lord God, send angels of comfort around them, Father God, to minister unto their spirit, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, let them run to the ark of safety, Lord God. That is with you, Lord God. Let them abide in your tabernacle, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we just want to thank you, Lord God, for healing sick bodies, Lord God, healing the Oshai, God, oh God, the sick bodies and the sick mind. Oh God, we thank you for healing the land, God, the Oshai, God. Father God, we thank you for the restoration and the realignment and restoring, God, of all things that has been lost, God. Oh God, we thank and praise you, Lord God, that you said we're the apple of your eye. We thank and praise you, Lord God, that we know that we are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. We are above, Lord God, and not beneath. And we thank you, Lord God, that we could come boldly before the throne of grace, God, and make our petition known unto you. We thank you, Lord God, that the Oshaya, God, that you are the source. We thank and praise you, Lord God, that you are our source. And you use the resources of the earth, Lord God, to give us what we need. Lord God, we're just grateful, Lord God, as you have touched us this morning, as we sit at the feet of Jesus, Lord God, waiting to receive our morning manna on today. Father God, those that are traveling up on the highways and the airways and the train, Lord, and the bus, oh God, and transportation up on the land, Father God. Oh, Father, we ask you that you protect them, God. Lord God, we decree and declare there will be no road rage, Lord God, in their area where they're at. There will be no accident. You're the most shy, God. Oh, God, shield us from accident, all hurting us from all harm, Father God. Lord, go behind the prison wall, God, and minister unto your people. Where are those that are behind the prison wall, God? Oh, God, that meet you as never before. Father God, we ask you that you go into the judicial system, God, into the correctional system, God, across this land, across the region, every country, Lord God. Every country is different, Lord God. The laws are different, Lord God. Some laws are worse than others, God. But even though when they're behind the prison wall, God, they're yet still human. They're yet still a person, God. Regardless of a crime that they may have committed, God, they yet still is a person, God. Lord God, they were created in your image, in your likeness, Father God. And Father God, we decree and declare across the land, God, across the regions, God, in different countries, Lord, over in Africa, over in Nigeria, oh God, over Australia, God, with China, United States, God. Oh, Father God, that, Lord God, that justice does prevail, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, that whatever they need may be, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, that their need will be met. We decree and declare restoration, Lord God, to be able to be reformed, to come back and prepare themselves for the world, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, God. Let your spirit and let your angels be there and feel them, protect them, God. Lord, you said the heart of the king is in your hands, Father God. Father God, we thank and praise you, Lord God, that you said that we were made a little lower than the angels, Lord God. And Lord God, the birds and the lilies of the field, Lord God, you clothe them. You provide food for them, Father God. And Father, you told us not to worry about what we shall eat, Lord, what we shall put on our back. But Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank and praise you, Lord God, that you're their provider. You provided them with everything that they need, God. Lord God, to prepare them for the release in the world that's outside of them, Father God. We thank and praise you, God, as we continue to pray for our first responders. Lord God, hallelujah, the doctors, the nurses, those that are on the front line, even in ministry, leadership, Father God, across the world, Father God, shield the protection, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Lord God, we are now, like God, all these new name disease, Lord God, during the COVID, God, Lord God, we are vaccinated against God, against that monkey pox. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, God, Lord God, you are God, the healer. You are our vaccinator, Lord God. Lord God, you are our shield. You are our protection, Lord God, that we are protected, God, from all of these different types of ailment and sickness and disease, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord God, to protect those, Lord God, that even receive the vaccine. We decree and declare, God, that the side effects of time to Yoshia, God, will not be there, God, but there are side effects, God, from the injection, God. But Lord God, we ask you that you heal, God. Heal them now, God. Oh God, from and shield them now from any side effects, God. Yoshia, God, of the shots that they receive, Father God. In the name of Jesus, God, touch now the immune system, God. Lord, touch those, God, that immune system, the lungs, the respiration system, Lord God, the breathing and the tiredness, God. Lord, reconstruct that which has been hit, God, that has been altering the body, God. Oh, God, we decree and declare that it is so, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And we give you glory, we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning again to you on the Blog Talk and on the conference line. We thank and praise God for you coming this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. We appreciate our visionary so very much, Dr. LaRon Matthews. Amen. In his absence, we appreciate you, administrator, and for all that you do and the host of God's people everywhere. We say praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and good morning. Welcome to the month of August 2022. It's the eighth month of the year. We have four more months remaining. The year is just passing us right on by. Amen. Every time I think about how fast the time is going, I think about the song that I believe Andre Crouch sang, that days, the months become days, and days become, I can't think of it, but I'll get it together in a minute. Hallelujah. I think about that song, amen, and how he was so prophetic even in the singing of that song many, many years ago when I was a teenager, amen. So I thank God, hallelujah, for just being able to be able to discern how fast it, we seem that it's 24 hours, but it is not 24 hours the way it used to be when I was a child because the time is rolling on, amen, and God, I believe, has time because he is soon to come, and I said, they've been saying that forever. Trust me, you can see the signs of the times of the Lord's coming in the, not only the atmosphere, but in throughout the things that is going on in the world. Well, administrator, good morning to you, woman of God. Is there any questions on the floor from our listening audience?
Well, good morning, Dr. Wilkes, and everyone that's listening in on the line. There is a couple of questions. The first question is, why is a living dog better than a dead lion, referring to Ecclesiastes 9 and 4.
Ecclesiastes 9 and 4. You're there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know, Mother, has prayed. Lord God, you give me, amen, the wisdom and the words and the knowledge to be able to answer these questions according to the word of God and according to what is right, rightly divide the word of truth. I ask right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, let me increase and let you increase even the more. We praise you and we magnify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 9 and 4. Turn in there. Amen. Mm-hmm. It says, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Well, I'm visiting something here. I'm looking at my notes. I would look at it as this way. When Solomon uses Proverbs in his writing, he's speaking some wisdom here, so that he is praying from this word, and is saying that the lively creature or the lowly creature is preferable as dead to be exalted, an exalted creature. If you look at the lion power, the lion shows authority. The lion shows roar. Then you look at the dog, which is that. That's probably where the phrase the under this, you know, the underdog that always come out. And the underdog is considered to be a nobody. And to, oh, Lord Jesus, I already okay. Holy Ghost is talking now. When I start doing this, I know the Lord is talking about the topic. This is kind of important. But when you look at this, the dog is considered to be nothing, to be a nobody. And when you see this scripture here, it is saying, for the living know that they shall die. I'm sorry, that's the verse 10, 25. I'm going to read it again. For to him that is joined to all living things, living here is hope. So any time that there is life in the body, that person has hope. That person has hope to become what God wants them to become. However, if they are a living dog, nobody expects him or her to be anything. So therefore, the one that is dead, a dead lion, they're going to be always praised. They're going to be always worshipped. Now we can see this when you compare a dog to a lion and their characteristics, even though we know that some people now treat their dogs like they shoot it. They don't got that. But anyway, you can see this. So if the lion shows that the character, this lion showing loyalty, showing status, if you want to say that. Nobody really looks at a dog with status. And so even when you look at the sports arena, the Holy Ghost, you know, better than bad. In the sports arena, most people look at the ones that are big, they are giants. And six things, but sometimes those giants are put against those that are lowly, those that seem like they don't have any substance, which we would call the underdog. And sometimes the underdog comes and come out and they take the championship.
and in the ones they have. So when we look at Solomon speaking here, and we look, there is hope of doing something for God, God to give the glory, God to give the glory to those that nobody, they are nobody, and God makes them be exalted above that. But the other person, which is the lion, has to die out of the scene. Let's go on and look at verse number 5. It says, for the living now that they shall die, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So there is time to allude to verse number 4 so that it can bring out more explanation about being alive, which gives you hope. And then the ones that already have fame and glory, when they die, nobody's going to really remember them as much as they did, unless somebody is just a fanatic with them, worshiping them, and then they bring it out. So I hope that what I have said will help you understand.
Amen. And the second question is, in reference to Colossians 4 and 3, what is the mystery of Christ?
Colossians 4 and 3.
Yes, ma'am.
Praying also for us. That God will open up. Is it 4 and 3, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That God will open to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, that which is also in bond. Okay. I want you to go up and read the first two verses, individuals, so that you can get a full understanding. This is talking about prayer, right? It says, Master, give unto yourself your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. So in this, you see that they're talking to leadership, okay? It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Lord Jesus, I see this. I'm sorry. The more I keep reading these scriptures, the more it's tying into this topic. Lord have mercy. You'll see in a minute. It says, just watch with the same with thanksgiving, wherewithal praying also for us, the ability of the leaders, that God will open unto us a door of utterance. That's the outpouring of the Spirit of God, outpouring of his wisdom, the outpouring of the knowledge of God, okay? To speak the mystery of Christ. And what the mystery of Christ is the understanding what he did. To give the knowledge that he has. Because when he told Peter, let's make an example here. When he told Peter, he said, who art thou? Who do men say that I am? He said, thou art Christ, Son of the living God. I told him, flesh and blood have not revealed this to thee, but the Father which is in heaven. That is a mystery of Christ. The more that leaders are in prayer, the more that those leaders are the mouthpiece leader, man, woman, if they are speaking, they can only give the mystery of God by
here's the scripture. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Prophets quote it all the time, that he reveals his mystery through the prophets. And so when we see this, you'll know as we go along the line, when you hear any woman of God that is anointed and ordained, amen, they speak on the behalf of God. And they only can get that from the God reveals that to them so that they trying to get the words out. God gives that to them so they can speak his utterance. Even I can say this myself, when I'm in prayer and God begins to reveal some things to me in the spirit, the utterance that comes out, I begin to pray fervently in the spirit because the utterance started coming. And then there are times that God will give me the revelation of those utterances that I have spoken. He gives it to me. I might not say it out in English, but I can hear it in my mind. The utterance that I'm in warring and I'm interceding, hallelujah, glory to God, in that, because the Spirit is making intercession for that individual or whoever that God is using a mouthpiece to pray for someone else. It's a mystery of God. I love it when our leaders, such as Steve Simmons and Evangelist Patrice and others, all of the ones that when they begin to speak, not here only on this line, but there are some that are outside the line that I have encounters with, when they begin to speak, God gives them the utterance to be able to give a word, give knowledge to the individual. They might have prayed for something and they waiting for to hear an answer from God. This is what here is what it's talking about. So I just don't want to ramble on, but I want you to get answering your question.
Hey, man, that's all I have at this time, Dr. Woods.
Okay. All right. So we're going to go into our lesson today. As we go into our lesson today, our topic this morning, watch out. We're going to be talking about selfishness, jealousy, and pride. Woo, glory, hallelujah. Watch out. Selfishness. And we're going to talk about the testimony of those that are in the scriptures. But before we get to those testimonies, I want to read several passages of scripture. And I'm going to give you the scripture, and then we're going to go into this, and we're going to talk about these in various actions. And some of those questions is kind of alluding to this topic this morning, 20 and 17. And we're going to go over to Deuteronomy 5 and 21. I'm just going to flow with this. We're going to go to Proverbs 16 and 18, Proverbs 27 and 4. Song of Solomon and Romans 12 and 21. We're going to start in Exodus, chapter number 20, verse number 17. It says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy name.
neighbors. Okay? Then we're going to roll over to Deuteronomy, chapter number 5, verse number 21. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. Giving you the same thing, but presented in a little different manner. Neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, nor his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Then we're going to go to Proverbs, chapter number 16, verse number 18. Pride goeth for destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Then we're going to go over to chapter number, wrath is cruel, and anger is outrage. But who is able to stand before envy? Envy is another word for jealousy. Right? Then we're going to Song of Solomon. Set me a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arms. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. But it's still the coal which has a most vehement flame. That means outrageous. So jealousy is outrageous. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the flood drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contaminated. So, now, I got to insert something. Do you hear somebody say, I love you to death? Well, didn't love me to death. I want them to love me to life. Because if they love it so, then they might kill me because they don't want nobody else to pass me. So that phrase goes around, but it can have a different content. We have to be careful with that phrase, I love you to death. Did you hear what it says? Love is strong as death. A person can be so much in love with an individual that they're of them. We have seen so many times that men kill women or women kill men. Vice versa. We got scripture for it this morning. Ooh, my God. How jealousy caused someone to die. My. Let's go to Romans chapter number 12 in verse number 21. Romans 12 and 21. Be not overcome of evil. Pride. It is part of the evil family. Okay? But overcome evil with good. How do you do that? I'll talk about it. So this morning, I want to start off with
We have a set of brothers. A set of brothers here in the scriptures called Cain and Abel. There was selfishness there, and there was jealousy there. And the selfishness and the jealousy, you could see Cain and Abel. And you could see him go, how in the world do you get selfishness and out of that? But let's go to Genesis chapter number 4. And we're going to just read a little bit so we can get this understanding of selfishness, jealousy, and pride. Watch out. We as saints of God, we don't want to have this going on. As Exodus says, thou shalt not covet anything that thy neighbors have. And your neighbor said, well, that's my neighbor. Don't we talk about anybody in close proximity to you. That is your neighbor. Whether it's your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, your co-worker, whatever. That's your neighbor at that point. Okay? Right? So they don't live out of you. They're living beside you or walking beside you or talking beside you. We need to see that. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. And I have gotten a man from the Lord. He again bare his brother Abel. Abel was the keeper of the sheep. But Cain was the tiller of the ground. He was the oldest. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offered unto the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Okay, here we go. Selfishness, jealousy, and pride, right off in the front, fourth chapter of the book. Okay? And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted? So there was a spirit going on in Cain that was not so much of Abel. It wasn't so much that Cain gave a weak offering or an offering of what he had, but it was the spirit behind that. Most people, you know, we know that it took a blood offering, God accepted blood offering. I'm not negating that. But what I want us to focus on is the spirit behind the individual. Selfishness, jealousy, and pride. This is what got him in trouble. Okay? If he had a chance to do it over again, all he had to do was repent of his evil that was in his spirit. Look here. Because even when we come to the Lord, let's break this down to us today. When we come to the Lord to give our sacrifice, we don't have a blood sacrifice. We come to him. We should be coming to him in the spirit of humility, in the spirit of love, the spirit of worship and sacrifice in him. We can't be full of jealousy, envy, pride, and all that other stuff that be inside of us. expect that, oh, God, I want you to do this. And God, you know, we, too much pride. We just demanding God to do stuff. We have to watch the character of our spirit. This is what we talk about. Let's talk about it. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? God is telling you to check your spirit. That's what he said. Hey, look how you come to me. If thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. This was in his heart. Jealousy, selfishness, and pride. How do you know that this was in his heart? Let's, we're going to talk about it. Okay? And unto thee, and unto thee shall be his desire that thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass. And he already, God had already talked to Cain, giving him a chance to say, okay, I already know what's inside of you. And what's going on in your heart, if you don't get rid of it, it's gonna come out. So here we go. Cain talked with his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. He killed him. Because why? He was jealous. He had selfishness inside of him, and he had pride, envying. And God, but he didn't speak. God was trying to tell him, I did not accept your sacrifice. He was trying to have a conversation with, he didn't have no conversation with Abel. He had the conversation with Cain because he wanted him to get it right. Sometimes God be trying to tell us stuff. Help us, Lord Jesus. Here it is. The mystery, the utterance of God is speaking through the men and women of God, trying to tell us, hey, look at what you're doing. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Here's the warning. So therefore, Cain didn't take heed. And then not only did he kill his brother, but he got arrogant and complied. Don't talk crazy to God. Verse number 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is thy brother? I said he didn't know. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Hi, Alex. He being smart to God, his mouth. See, whatever's in the heart, the mouth is going to speak, y'all. If selfishness, jealousy, and pride is there, it's going to be displayed in actions because actions do speak louder than words. And it did. He killed his brother. But all he had to do was get himself in check. This is what happened. He was cursed from that. Okay. And God, his blood became on the hands of him because he a spirit and he was displayed. Now I want to go. We know I'm going to mention these, but we're not going to talk about them in depth. We know about Sarah and Hagar. Sarah said she wanted to just do what she wanted to do and help God out. And she got jealous when the woman got pregnant by her husband. And she was the one that motivated the thing. But she wanted to put the woman out. She despised her. Okay? Lord, that was selfishness. That was jealousy. She got beside herself. That's pride. We can look at the testimony of Leah and Rachel. They was in competition with each other. Who just trying to, I think I'm better than you. Okay, we got a scripture for that too. They thinking they one try to outdo the other. Okay, we thank the God. This is in the Word. And God didn't put that there and allow that to be there for us not to watch out. Because there's consequences behind these types of spirits. Then we're going to look at the testimony of Joseph and his brothers. We know that Joseph was favored among his 11 brothers, 12 of them. Joseph had a coat of many colors. The brothers, even though Joseph was a dreamer, the brothers were, so what did they do? They conjured up a lie. They took the coat, dipped it in blood, took it back to the father, told him that he was dead. But in the meanwhile, they had put him in the hole. And then they, later on, when the merchants came by, they sold him off his slavery. He ended up in the palace in Potiphar's house. Oh, my God. They called him the Potiphar's wife, being selfish. She's being all full of her lusciousness and all of the things that she wanted to do with Joseph because he was good looking and she wanted to have him. But then, of course, she's going to lie because he wouldn't sleep with us, okay? There go pride right there. Her pride has got hurt because she, the queen, wanted the servants to lie with her and he wouldn't do it. Why? Because he believed he believed God. God had his hands on him. And he wasn't finna just, this not so much that she probably could have slept with him, but suppose he would have slept with her. He would have just went and laid with her and she would have got pregnant. How would she would explain that to her husband? Well, she made up a lie. She made up a lie saying he tried to rape her. And then he ends up in prison. We know the rest of that testimony because Joseph came out on top anyway at the end. But let's look at here. Watch out. Look how one consequence of these type of spirits leads to evil work and evil things to be conjured up in the minds of the people. And they begin to do the thing that is not. I want us to go to 1 Samuel. And this one right here, it cuts the cake. I got another one for you. And let's read verse number 2. Well, we know Samuel. He had two wives. One was named Hannah, and the other name was Peniah. Peniah had children, and Hannah did. And Peniah made fun of Hannah. Okay? He gave this and everything to Hannah because she didn't have any children. Verse number 5 says, and her adversary, which was Peniah, also provoked her sore, or to make her fret. That means to make her angry, because the Lord has shut up her womb. I want to say something. Hannah's name means gracious. Or beloved or favored. Peniah's name means pearl. However, it must have been a rotten pearl because Peniah's characteristic, one that rejoices from the misfortune of another. Naya, spirit is still running rampant in the land today. Naya, spirit not only frowns down on somebody else that is that don't have what they have, but this Naya spirit is a spirit of pride. And when it sees that somebody else is not as fortunate that they have, they also take that spirit, they also take the person's misfortune and uses it to make themselves look better than the others. We see this Panaya spirit running around not only, it goes back to the scripture we read in Exodus, thou shalt not covet. Now, she wasn't coveting what Sarah didn't have, but she was taking the thing, Sarah's misfortune, and she used it against to make herself to be envious, to do evil against her. She provoked her to make her angry. Is this right? No, because God wants us to show love. And even if Panaya here is the dead lion, come on, somebody. And Hannah, she's the dog, the living dog. And I'm just going to make it plain. Because Hannah was not so much favored as her name was to say at that point in time because she was barren. This is a big thing. So you couldn't have children. But look what happened. They remained. She remained gracious. Hannah didn't let her. She didn't get jealous of the woman, of Panaya. Hannah didn't get selfish of the woman. And she didn't have a selfishness. Because why? How can we know she didn't have selfishness? She went before the Lord. She said, if you give me a male child, I'm going to give him back to you, and he's going to serve you all the days of your life. Now, how many women, after they have children, want to give their child away? You done held that baby. You done fed that baby, whether by the bottle or by the breast. You gonna give your child away after you wean it? I don't think so. I don't know. No, not a mother, not a real mother. Okay. And even in that, we can see that happening because there was a selfish woman that came before King Solomon. Even though they was two prostitutes, and one. She was not going to cut her child in half and allow her child to be killed. So she said, give him to the other one. Now, she was only doing that to save her child. But the one that had rolled over on her child and smothered it and the child died, she was selfish because, okay, my child is dead. So if my child, if I can't have my child, you can't have your child. We gonna split it in half. I don't care. That's how Solomon knew. God had given him the wisdom to discern this spirit. And this is what we need to be in faith with God. We need to discern. Watch out. We need to discern when these causing habits, even in the instance of Queen Esther, she had an adversary, Haman. Haman, he was full of pride, jealousy, and he definitely was selfish because he didn't like Mordecai, Queen Esther's cousin. If I said it was his uncle, but it was his cousin, her cousin. You have to understand, when these types of spirits running around rapid, even the spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel ain't just no woman with no red dress on. Jezebel is a spirit of pride. She husband was jealous of everybody else, and she wanted to have a controlling spirit. All right? We have to be so careful. And as Romans chapter number 12, evil, we got to overcome this evil with good. We cannot let these type of things dwell in our mortal body. We have to go back to what God said. We don't have, we should not covet. We should not have these things. Thou shalt not. In other words, he doesn't want us to be living like this. Even to this, and I'm going to give this last illustration. In the word, where these is it, even among the disciples, James and John were sitting on each side of Jesus. There rose up jealousy among them. They want to know who won't sit next to him in the kingdom, in heaven. Come on now. As long as you make it, you don't have to be envious or jealous of your sister and your brother. God has given us a gift, each one of us, according to the ability that he know that we can handle. If he didn't give me a gift to be a pianist, even though I can learn, but there are some people that, I mean, they are naturally, they can get on them keys and make them ivories talk. I'm telling you, you can hear a melody inside of the melody that they play. They are gifted to be extravagant in that manner. I can sew, but then there's some people that can sew. Okay? I can take a pattern, cut it out, change it up a little bit and stuff. But then there's levels of sewing that I can't touch. Now my business partner, man, she can size you up in a heartbeat. I can crochet, but she can crochet. Because she taught her sons to crochet. And one of her sons so bad with the crocheting, I'm telling you, whoo, he had been having fashion shows. He could be wanting his merchandise. Why? Do I need to be jealous? Do I need to be envious and selfish because I see somebody else can do something better than what I can do? No. I'm grateful for what God has given me, the ability. Okay, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm doing a wedding right now. And the wedding is in 15 days. And I'm like, Lord, I need to have. So I said, Lord, I need to have some candle holders. I don't have no extra money to be going to buy no candle holders because they just got expensive. They used to be $1, or $2 for $1. Now they don't even sell them there. Then you go to the Goodwill, they 99 cents more, and then they don't want to give you no discounts no more. I'm just taking it plain, okay? And some of them more than that. Okay, people, I'm just saying. So I'm like, God, I need to do something. I need these candle holders. What should I do? Lord gave it to me. Because at first I was saving water bottles. I'm crazy, he said, Evangelist, I can't see it. Took a water bottle, cut it in half, made it smaller, and God used the materials that I had and took the water bottle and put flowers all over it. I posted it so y'all can see it. It's amazing. And I'm not going to post it to after the wedding so that you can see. It's amazing structure that I can use, and it's going to be gorgeous. All because what God has given me the gift to create and to get wealth. But what am I saying? No matter, we all have creativity in us. We all have something that God has blessed us with. We don't have to covet what somebody else has. All we have to do is don't be like Cain. and have this type of greed, envious, jealous, selfish pride spirit within us. And God begins to season the utterance of the mystery of his word to tell us that, hey, this is going on. And when we hear the word, we need to take heed to the word and size ourselves up to the word. Not somebody, oh, I know. You know, my brother, Simbean over there, that's the word. Ooh, he need to be hearing this word because this is what's going on with him. But what's going on in our heart? Can we get the mote and the beam out of our own eyes? And not thinking we so full of pride that we see faults in everybody else. But we can't see the faults in us. Watch out! God wants us to overcome this evil with good. And how do we do that? By repenting. By turning our life over to God. By thinking on those things that are lovely, those things that are pure. By being obedient to the word of God and submitting ourselves and being faithful to him. And most of all, allow us to be born of the water and of the spirit. And God will be able to lead and guide us into all truth. We don't want to end up like Satan, Lucifer, who started all of this mess out in the first place, up in heaven, caused one-third of the heavenly host to fall with him. We don't want to fall with him. Watch out! Selfishness, jealousy, and pride is on the rampage. If we're not careful, we're bringing damnation to our own soul. Got to watch the spirit that we have inside of us and make sure that we are not feeling like we are better than somebody else. We're so prideful and we would cause our brother and sister all the right against them, against the gossip and backbite against them, do all sorts of manner of evil. Watch out. God certainly is watching. He's certainly taking notes. And he ain't going to have it because he's going to call us into judgment. Those things. We don't get it together. All right, administrator. Going to leave, of course, a commercial. Come back with any announcement, and we're going to open up the floor for questions and comments.
Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.werestoreyou.org. That's werestoretheletteryou.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
Join- Join Prophet LaRon Matthews every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. and on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. for Facebook Live. Also, you can join Prophet throughout the week with Drive By with the Prophet for a powerful prophetic word from the Lord. You can go to LaRon Matthews on Facebook and LaRon Matthews Ministries and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Inc. on Facebook Live. We look forward to seeing you on Facebook Live with Dr. Prophet LaRon Matthews.
Times are subject to change depending upon the availability.
Prophet LaRon Matthews Ministries welcomes you to the Friday Morning Word with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes of Indianapolis, Indiana. It is our prayer that together we can submit to His Word, submit to His call, and submit to His commission in order to stay on the path Jesus has paid for us. The first hour of the program is dedicated to the youth, so we welcome all youth and youth leaders. God bless you. Sit back and relax and enjoy the Friday Morning Word broadcast with Evangelist Carlina Wilkes.
God bless you, Dr. Wilkes. The following announcements are the dates that please keep in mind. August the 19th through the 20th, Dr. Matthews will be in Atlanta, Georgia Conference 2022. August the 28th, he will be back in Atlanta at Preach the Word Worldwide Network Television Gala. The tickets are $150. For more information on purchasing your ticket, you can go to Preach the Word Worldwide Network TV. com. That's ptwwntv.com. September the 16th through the 18th, Dr. Matthews is on his way to San Antonio, Texas for Bridging the Gap, Birthing the Love Conference. Also, September the 25th through the 26th, Dr. Matthews is on his way to New Albany, Mississippi. October the 28th through the 30th, getting ready for the Family Values Conference 2022 and the birthday celebration for Dr. Matthews. If you desire for Dr. Matthews to be the guest speaker at your conference, your prophetic summit, your revival, he's also a licensed Christian counselor. We'll be more than happy to coordinate that for you. Please give us a call at 877-912-2027. Again, that number is 877-912-2027. Back to Bridging the Gap, Birth and the Love Conference. That registration is $50, and the hotel is the Marriott San Antonio Airport at 77 Northeast Interstate, 410 Loop in San Antonio, Texas. And for more information, you can call our very own prophet, Tina Rice, at 210-849-6182. Again, that number is 210-849-6182. And to make the reservations for the Marriott San Antonio Airport, that number is 800-228-9290, 800-228-9290, and the code is Bridging the Gap. God bless you, Dr. Matthews. Excuse me, God bless you, Dr. Woods.
That's okay. Amen. All right, people of God, comments, administrators, anything on the blog side?
No, just the statement about the questions that was answered earlier. They wanted to thank you for breaking those down to where they could understand them.
All right. You're well, very much welcome for that. Amen. We thank God for just allowing His word to be expounded on, and that He gives us the help that we need. You know, because we definitely can't do it on our own. We need His help to be able to understand what He would have for us to know. And so we bless God for that. All right, we're going to open up the floor for questions and comments on the conference line. Remember, we are alive all over the world. If you have a comment or a question, please star 6 your line and come right on in. Anyone with a question or a comment on the conference line. Make sure your line is unmuted. Amen. Anyone have a question or comment? Talked about selfishness, jealousy, and pride. That's our topic.
Good morning, Dr. Wilkes. This is Evangelist Vicky. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing just simply marvelous.
All right, now I'm glad to hear that. It's just I love what you shared this morning. And as I was getting up and getting ready for whatever task I was doing today, I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff. I need to slow down. One part that I heard was when you was talking about Abraham and his wife and how how she lied and said that she was his sister versus the wife. And it's funny how people may take something that may be sound, maybe something small, but it ended up being, you know, take a little white lie, but a lie is a lie. And it ended up unfolding where it causes damage to someone else. And so it was a good reflection. It was a good thought that, it was a good statement that you brought forth, even though it was true because it's in the Word of God. But it's so dangerous that, you know, when people do stuff like that, sometimes it turns into an effect. And as you notice over the years, even in the Word of God, it showed that it passed down from generation to generation. And so it's just, we got to be so careful about stuff like that. And even with jealousy, you think that people sometimes can be for you, but yet they have like this little jealousy on the inside of them that wants to outdo you. Like my mom had shared with me the other day, she was saying how she had posted something online about some flowers that I had purchased her. And just the next day or so, one of our friends posted a picture of some flowers that came to her. And at first I didn't think that it was an issue, right? But then as I started looking at thinking about the stuff in the past, certain things that my mom would eat up, certain things that, like, we had good hair or whatever, so then the other lady would try to put stuff in her child's hair to make their hair look like ours. And so it was just so funny that my mom mentioned that, and I was like, oh, I don't think that she was really like that. But then I thought about it, I said, yeah, she actually is like that. So I said, you know, it's sad that people do stuff like that and don't think that you notice it, but they could be close up underneath you and try to mimic everything that you do, you know, but yet they have a little jealous streak in them about, for what, though? You know, I don't understand it, you know. But anyway, I just had to...
you have to look at the motive of the heart. Going back to Cain, look at what I talked about, Cain. God came to Cain, and he asked Cain, why is thy countenance fallen? Pretty much he was asking him, why is your spirit like this? And the result, he didn't give him an answer right away. But he told him, because your spirit is like this, if you don't do something about it, it's going to come out. But I'm just paraphrasing what happened. And he gave him warning before he did Cain killed his brother Abel. When I read that, jealousy is cruel as the grave. Some people can get so envious of somebody else. They may not physically kill them, but they try to do kill their characteristics by the things that they say about the individual, by the things that they do. They don't, you know, people don't really look at it from that perspective. Kill people with our mouths, with slander. Somebody and ruin their reputation by just telling, like I said, a lie. That's why, watch out. God wants us to take heed and discern what is in us. We don't want evil to be in us any kind of way. Because if it is, one spirit leads to another. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. In other words, a little part of sin makes the whole body sinful. So we have to, what I said, mind, body, soul, and spirit. We cannot allow these things. Now, person I am, it may hurt me. Truly, it may hurt me. But if you see me doing something wrong, say something wrong, you know, tell me. Don't let me be walking around in sin. And then that sin turns to pride. And I'm thinking I'm okay. Don't let me be like that. So, you know, she a doctor. She got a doctor's degree. She educated. She should know better, blah, 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 blah. No. I'm human just like the next person. Them papers don't make me. That degree don't make me. How many other degrees I have? What makes me is God living on the inside of me, leading, guiding me, shaping me, molding me, preparing me to be what he wants me to be. And if I be like Cain and get arrogant when he comes to say something, some people be like, I don't know who they think they is. They're trying to give me a word. And, you know, they need to get their stuff together and all of this, blah, 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 blah. No, 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 no. That, we got to be so careful, saints. We got to be so careful that if we're doing this, that the enemy will come in and set up a trap. And it'll be there in our spirit. See, you know, be like, how did that happen? Why did I do this? Because this is how the devil works. And he don't care who he uses. Strike out at this person, at another individual. So thank you, woman of God, for bringing that to the forefront, saying what you said, because folks don't think nothing, it's foolery, and they think nothing about it. They think they okay, because the word of God does say every man is right in his own eye. But does that really mean that we're right? Because we think we're right? We're only right when we are lined up by the word of God. Because we always have room for improvement. So glory to God. Do you have anything else?
Yes, I do. I was also thinking, too, about when people, you know, as leaders, you know that there's going to be people that are going to be wanted to be where you are, but they don't know what kind of, you know, hell, or they don't know what kind of process that you had to go through. I shouldn't say hell, but, you know, all kinds of stuff that you had to go through to get to where you are. And then the moment that you arrive to where God really has you, you know, you'll see, you know, the, you know, what did they say? They said the higher level, how do they say it? The higher you go, the more, you know, more warfare you will encounter. But you'll really start seeing who is really for you, who is not for you, you know. And so I just want to say to be for those that are out there that are going through and God is elevating them to just ask God for discernment, you know, in regards to who are your friends, because sometimes not everybody that is your friend is your friend. And I've learned that a long time ago from my leaders. It's just you have to learn, you know, even when you're in that process, you know, who's going to actually be there for you. And then God will start shifting people that have a different motive. You know, whether it's jealousy or they're just trying to hang on to you so they can get the accolades, you know, from whatever God is doing in your life, you know, but sometimes you just got to shake those things off, and it may hurt for a little bit, but in the process is far more better, you know, the result is much better in the end. And so, and also do a heart, what do you call it? A heart search your heart as well to make sure that those things are not in, inside of you as well. So as you get higher and go in, into the new realms that God has you going into, that those things would not reside in your heart as well, but you have a pure heart. So I just wanted to mention that as well. I just thought it was really awesome how you shared the word of God and allow people to see and to be able to identify those things so that they can make sure that everything that they're doing in their walk with God is in alignment with Him.
Yeah, we got to. It's important. This is where we at, that God is us. He don't want us to perish. If we can get that in our spirit, God do not want anybody to perish. We perish. The only reason why someone will perish is because they chose to follow that way that God wants that relate. It's not God that's one that's causing them to go to hell. We cause ourselves to go that way. When we do what we want to do, that is a spirit of pride. We don't allow God to have free reign and free course. We think we got this. We can do everything on our own. No, that's not true. God said, it's all thy ways to acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And then that's why sometimes we get off course, off center. We're doing things to be like, well, what? Then we come back at the end and say, okay, God, fix it. I done messed this up. I done messed that up. I done messed that up. But have we just done what he said and to acknowledge him, maybe it wouldn't have been no mess up because we would have got the direction. And if it was a mess up, did we do exactly what he said, or did we tweak it to the way that we want? Even in that, you know, I appreciate God, who I do. I appreciate him so very much, because God knows how to do it and everything. And don't think he didn't show me me. I want him to always show me me. But when he showed me me, oh, my God. I'm glad I got a chance to do it while I'm yet living. Because at the dead, there's no change. Ain't nobody pray me out of hell. Ain't nobody offering up those sacrifices for me to keep me from going to hell. No, I done did that sacrifice myself by the life that I live. The same with whoever is listening. Giving up now, it's going down on record. Trust me, whether good or bad, God is keeping track. And he's going to have every I dotted and every T crossed, as they say. Right? Anyone else with a question or comment this morning? Star 6, your line, come right on in. Anyone
else? You know, I was sitting there just thinking too when you were talking about pride. I think someone's trying to come in too. You know, Apostle will always say, about pride. And even with pride, there's, you know, of course, that sin. And a lot of times, you know, when you see that in an individual, you know, that's because they're eating from the wrong tree. And so we have to make sure that we are eating from the right tree. And then even with those that are doing that, you know, with pride, because it's the pride of, you know, the pride of life, you know, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Huh? Lust of flesh, the lust of the pride of life. And those are the identifications that will allow you to see if you or an individual is walking in that pride, because God doesn't want us to be that way, as you explained. God wants us to be free from those things and to be thankful and to congratulate people when they elevate it, or when people are, when God blesses an individual. There's no need for us to be jealous in the body of Christ. You know, we're all one body. And so if you see that, I mean, of course, it needs to be pointed out, but you also pray for that individual as well, because apparently there's something that they're lacking that in their walk with God that is bringing them to that place of jealousy. They haven't totally surrendered themselves to God and allow him to do the work in them, you know, to walk around like that. And I would imagine that a person is very miserable if they have that, if you're walking in that, you know, and constantly playing two roles, being Jacqueline Hyde, if I must say. You know, one minute you just like you're rejoicing, you know, but deep down inside, you know, you're Hyde, you know, and you just like, you know, you have that jealousy or you have that pride or you have that whatever, you know, that is preventing you from being totally free. So there was something else I wanted to say, but I can't remember, but I'm going to go back on mute.
Very good point, woman of God. Very good. Anyone else have a comment?
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Wilkes. I bless you on this morning.
I'm fine,
amen.
Sir.
Bless the Lord. Say it again.
I said, I'm fine, sir.
Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. To Evangelist Piggott, bless you, daughter, on this morning. To our Administrator Bryant, to our visionary Dr. Matthew, bless the people of God on this morning. It's Friday, Dr. Wilkes, and I certainly thank God. You certainly have fried the fish today. It ain't nothing like a Friday fish fry. You are in the vein. You are in the flow, woman of God. And as I always say, you know, sometimes our teaching and our messages, they're not popular, but it's definitely profound and powerful for this time and season that we're in for God's people. You know, based upon some of the that I heard, I caught at the end of what you were sharing about jealousy and you brought out a point about the disciples when they was asking Jesus a question about who could sit on the right hand and all of this. You said that wasn't his power to do. It was the Father. And then you took it back to Cain and Abel. And I shared a little bit of that last night with the people in our teaching, letting them know about their jurisdiction. Yeah, a lot of people don't understand their jurisdiction in the kingdom. But I thank God for what you brought out, because even our younger people, they have to know this. Some of my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And if we don't understand something, then we will be subject to repeat whatever we see. And that's why history repeats itself, generation repeats itself. You see all this stuff repetitively over and over, but it's sad to see it in the church, in God's church. When you talk about jealousy, competing, comparing, all of that stuff that we know it came from the enemy from the beginning of eons of time. And many people, we allow it. You see it in family. You see it in ministry. You see it on jobs. You see it in this nation. You just see it. You see it at large. When people are envy and jealous of you, for one, I heard Vincent Pickett bring it out about why are you going to be jealous of me when you see the oil on my life? You don't know the hell. You don't know what I had to go through to get what's on my life. So people should not be envy and jealous of you, because you in this place, you in this position of God has favored you. That's how I thank God. I theme Dr. Wilson coming into our six-year church plan. Uncommon favor. God has favored us in the midst of what people, how people try to perceive, look at us, or what they think. That's your thing. That's your opinion. You need to ask before you assume. But in the midst of this, we know what we went through. If I can look back over the 20-some years that I've been saved, been in ministry, all of the hell that I have gone through, hey, man, why me to be jealous and envy of me trying to kill and assassinate my character? That's why I was sharing with the people of God last night. Amen. People are trying to assassinate your character, sabotage you because they envy and jealous of you. They may not even like the way you look, the way you talk, or the way that God is using you. Now, you was giving an example about your business partner, how she taught her sons how to crochet. Why are you going to be even jealous of them because she taught them something well? and you may crochet a little bit, but not better than them. God has given all of us gifts, talents in the body of Christ, but the enemy is using it against us, and that's why you see the competition in the church world, and that's what makes it so sad. It starts from leadership. Y'all know all we got to deal and address leadership, because most time people follow the leaders, and I always talk about that blind leading the blind. The Bible says the boat gonna fall in the ditch. So most time people do what their leaders do. Now, if you got good leaders, yeah, follow your good leaders, because they're gonna teach you the truth. They're gonna tell you what's right. But in the midst of just doing something because it was taught from a generational thing or from a denominational thing, and you don't really know what it is or what it means, so you're jealous of the person down the road, or you're jealous of the person across the other side of town. Because of what? Jesus said, how he put it, Jesus told him, he said, well, because they were calling them, I'm paraphrasing it right now, Dr. Wills, but Jesus was saying, if they not against us, then they must be for us, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So a lot of times people think that you're against them. You know when somebody against you as a child of God, you'll definitely know, because God is going to reveal it to you. And when people are jealous and envy of you, for what? We're in the kingdom together. And that's why we got to be in the kingdom, not with a religious mindset, not from what we think, but from a kingdom mindset. And when we end that, you ain't got to worry about no envy and jealous, woman of God. I love you. I push you. God already promoted you. So I'm just encouraging you to keep doing what you're doing. Keep right on. But many people want to see you fall. Many people want to see you destroyed. Many people want to see you give up, throw in a towel, and then they'll say, I told you so. That's envy and jealousy come from the enemy. Say it again.
That's the Naya spirit.
No doubt. But see, why is it in the church, in God's church? That's sad. It's sad. And you know why many people ain't seen the word of God being manifested for their lives? Just because of that. They made the word of God a non-effect. They don't think that they're walking around with unforgiveness in their heart. They don't think they're walking around with jealousy in their heart. They don't think that they're walking around with pride in their heart. As my daughter said, when you understand what tree you're eating from, because if you're still eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then you're going to walk in pride. You're going to walk in the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh instead of eating from the tree of life, where Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You're going to be jealous of your brothers and sisters. I'm talking about on a natural scale and on the spiritual scale as the body of Christ. Because you see families, they are envy and jealous of each other. If God brought you out of the hood, the ghetto, I was listening to a testimony of a football player last night in the Hall of Fame. They adopted him in the Hall of Fame. He said he was talking about how he came out of poverty, and he was listening to some people, his classmates and stuff growing up, because he was a little chubby. They were picking at him, saying, you'll never be this, you'll never be that. And but his mother always encouraged him, and he had an uncle that always encouraged him. Don't let them words try to destroy you. You continue to pursue your dreams. His mom told him that, you know, growing up, she said, you're going to be in the NFL. You're going to play in the NFL one day. And it came to pass. He retired as a NFL football player, made much riches. Now him and his sixth daughter, he said he's creating cookbooks. He's cooking now. But his dream came true because he stuck with what? His dreams, what his mother said, what he believed in, what his uncle said. He believed in that. He didn't take on what the little kids and other people were saying about his character or about his life. And that's where we, as the men and women of God, no matter what people say about us or how they try to set us up, destroy us, sabotage us, that's an enemy spirit. And when we recognize that, the people sometimes, they are so in a what we call a reprobate mind, they don't even know what they're doing trying to do against you. But that's why I thank God for your teacher this morning, Dr. Wills. Every time you share, woman of God, you share from an unpopular place, just as myself and other leaders. Amen. It's the time that we must rise to this place to tell the people the truth. I mean, it's good to give some good stuff. What you're giving is good stuff. It's good stuff. But sometimes it hurts the flesh. It hurts the thing that we like to do, that we think that is okay. That's why I was sharing with the people last night. A lot of people don't like correction. It hurts to get correction, but it's good for us. And we need it, especially in this time and season that we're in of our lives as the body of believers. Because if we don't get the correction, guess what? You will keep right on making them same mistakes, getting what? The same consequences. So bless you on today, woman of God.
And you know when they do that conniving spirit and all of that kind of stuff, that's a Delilah spirit. If you look at what she did, she was conniving. The people don't understand that is just not a woman's spirit. That spirit is just corrupt, and it's enticing to make you think that you know. I mean, like how Vengeance Pig says, you think who your friend? They ain't your friend. Look how Delilah she was all up in Samson's face and stuff like that, making him think that you love me and all this kind of stuff. Watch those people from you. So they're going to pump you up and try to make you think. That's why I said watch out. Watch out. Selfishness, jealousy, and pride. You got to know how to discern. Look again at the conversation God had with Cain. What he pretty much is asking you, what is your spirit? Look what's in your spirit. Amen? Check it out. Get it right. I'm making it plain so nobody can say, oh, she just, I'm not beating nobody. What I'm trying to do is help us all. We are in Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, we in Jesus. And if we're going to be in Jesus, we cannot have these things out of us. We are to promote. Come on, Pastor, because I know.
Dr. Wilk, if that's the case, if that's the case based upon what you're teaching, you're sharing, if that's the case, then why is it in God's church when you see
what?
All of this?
They took their eyes off of what, oh, Lord Jesus. Apostle, many a times, like I said, people think that they right. My husband said something to me yesterday. I said, woman of God. And he pointed out he was using witchcraft.
To promote her agenda
and making merchandise out the woman. Telling her that, you know, the things that he said, pointed out, it was right. And people don't look at this. You just see some things that people do. We need to line it up to the word of God. And you say, well, they judge me. No, that's not judging, because you know them by the fruit that they bear. And the Bible plainly reminds it. If you see me acting like, what is his name? Ooh, he was the prophet that came. And he was telling the people, they wanted him to pronounce a blessing, a curse upon the people in Baal. I don't want to have that kind of spirit to make myself good, promote myself. Like you said, put somebody else down and because they ain't doing that. Balaam and Balak spirit operating with each other. No. When we see folks, and he says, and I believe this is the word, I can't tell you exactly what, but I know it's in there. They was once among us, and they no longer, they left, they done got off track. I'm putting the paraphrase. They done got off track, and they started off good. But then after they done got so far, and they just started not, they started leading to their own understanding. And not allowing the anointing of God to lead and guide them and speak the utterance of the mysteries of God. But they just started doing profane things that the enemy is planting in their spirit, and they are doing, following the enemy's agenda and not God's agenda.
That's it. That's it right there. That's what Apostle Paul told the Galatian church. He asked him, he said, who be with you, O foolish Galatians? You started out, you doing good. You did good in the spirit, but now you made perfect in the flesh. Who has be with you?
Be with
you. And that's what a lot of people are at. You know, like you said, it's not judging. It's rightly seeing what's before you because you're discerning it. You recognize the tree or the fruit it is bearing. And the reason why they're bearing the fruits, I mean, because there's two attributes of a tree when it comes to the fruits, because you can bear the fruit of the spirit or you can bear the, what we call the fruit of the flesh. Yeah, that's some attributes of the flesh. And you see it. You see the murdering. You see all of the stuff in the fruits of the flesh. And if we don't allow this flesh to be crucified with Christ, then we're subject to carry it from that old place. Because I show the church all the time, you don't want your apostle or your prophet or Maurice, I call my name, Maurice. You don't want the old Maurice to play. You won't want me to be that particular person to be your leader. But the old Maurice, Dr. Wills, I can tell you some stories about the old Maurice. Amen. And that's why we have to be so very careful, because it's easy to go back to the old place. The enemy can take you to that place, especially if he find you vulnerable or you in a place of I had a talk with a young man. I was good thing the Lord. See, that's why we got to be led by the Spirit of God. Young man about to commit suicide because he served in the military for a long time, and it messed him up because he was dealing with artillery and a lot of bombs and different stuff. He was having a problem with his brain. He had many surgeries on his brain while he was in there. And then he said something. He was telling me yesterday how they want to put a pacemaker on his brain. And he told his wife, no, he can't do that. And he said he sat out in the backyard of his house, and he said he looked up in the sky. He said, Lord. And he was at a point about to take his life because his manhood was really actually gone. It was like he felt like all he had done down through the years of serving in the military, over 26 years and put his time in, and now his life is not over, because he say he believed God, he trusts God as a believer, but a lot of time it comes to a point where you in that state, you look at yourself, the enemy start playing mind games with you. So he was at that point of really want to take his life and allow it to be over. I mean, I encouraged him, pray with him. You know, he say he believed God, he trusts God, but the enemy still comes back. I hear prophets say it all the time. Many leaders say the enemy come back to the scene of the crime. He wanna see if you who you really say you are. You say you're a child of God, you're a man of God, a woman of God. Are you really? We gonna see. We gonna see what you made of. But we're dealing with this, and that's why a lot of people are dealing with so much in their life now. Especially in this pandemic in the earth realm. People don't know up, down, in, out. They don't know who they are, what's going on. Emotional people dying. All of this stuff is taking place in the earth realm. So people are messed up. But we have trust God, as you stated. So we won't be envy and jealous of each other. We won't be in a place of competing and comparing. That go back to marriage and relationship. Me and my wife, we're going to share something powerful tomorrow. But people still in that place. That's why you see marriages in the church. They're going through divorces, separation, all these different things that are taking place because of who? The enemy. It's not even necessary. Well, it sometimes could be ourselves because we're our worst enemy. But we open the door for the enemy to come in to bring all of that stuff, whether it's envy, jealousy. Why a husband and a wife got to compete against each other, Dr. Wills? You and your husband, now y'all been married, y'all celebrated, I believe you said 40-some years. Why would y'all be envy and jealous of each other? Y'all husband and wife, y'all are one. Everything that you have, it belongs to him. Everything he have belongs to you. That's really what created the contention and the division in marriage and relationship, because they said, well, I worked for this. I done this. This was mine before you got here. I'm encouraging someone right now because they're going through something in a relationship because they keep saying I, and the person is getting, because the person came into the marriage and relationship, he didn't have anything. So I said, well, if you really love this person, right, you really love this person. I know I'm shifting to something else, but I was just giving this as an example how, going back to your topic, your teaching. Say it again.
That's part of the selfishness, because that's what it is.
Oh, yes. Yes, there you go, right there. Yes. Amen. Let me go on mute. I'm going to let somebody else want to come in and talk. Bless you on the day. Pray for me, Dr. Wilkes.
I'm waiting to hear from Steve Simmons in the morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Is there anyone else? Administrator, anyone on the blog side?
All lines are clear.
Okay. Anyone else on the conference line? Amen. The star six, your line, and come right on in. You said, Pastor, this is an unpopular topic. I said, Lord, because I was asking, Lord, what you want me to say? What do you want me to do? And I was moving around, and he said, okay, he started dropping it. I said, whoa. He started dropping it. Like I say, we have to understand. We got to watch it. We got to really, really check ourselves. We better go back to, I keep going back to Genesis. Conversation. Pain. Why have thou countenance fallen? Plainly said, thou shalt not covet. This covenant brings selfishness, jealousy, and pride. There is a way that seemeth right to the man, but the end thereof is destruction. We got to know how to overcome evil with good. Faith is so easy. Listeners, callers, it is easy. Follow what God says. We just need to do it. But when we find it hard, the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. What is a transgressor? One that do wrong. Cannot allow ourselves to be in this state. It's so easy to say, help, Lord. Help me. I tell the Lord all the time, Lord, I don't like this in me. I don't like that. Can you please help me? Because I don't want to be like this. You got to have that childlike spirit to be teachable and be able to be and be molded to his way. We're so full of pride. We're so selfish. And nobody can tell us nothing. I don't know who they think they are. They can't tell me nothing. I ain't this and I ain't that. They go there, I is what got to take out. Again, I won't be making up these sentences. What God gave me, I have to, I don't think it just applies to you. It applies to myself as well. And when we said let's talk, we got to talk about it. We got to talk about this. Because if it happened then, it's happening now. We don't want to end up in the gallows like Canaan. You set a trap for somebody else so that there could be a trap that will cause us to fall as well. Any other comment, any other questions?
Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning, Mother Jackson.
Praise the Lord. Watch out. Oh, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. What? You have covered so many things. I'm just wondering where I'm going to go with this. Okay, I'll hit this one. Hallelujah, glory to God. If you have more than one child, I'll use that example, you will see the different characteristics in those children. If you have one child, you have no comparison. But you're going to have that child that's going to obey you. Not trying to be a favorite, but just born from you that wants to obey you and everything that you ask them to do. it seems right in their eyesight. When you have maybe the other one, we're talking about Cain and Abel, that's a little girl. You know, I like to keep it real. As a little girl, at the age, I've been drawing as long as I can remember. At the age of first grade, I was in the newspaper talking about my art. Come to the classroom of Miss Murphy, I'll never forget, in the newspaper, Dolores Harris has the greatest artwork. Now I'm 6 years old, okay, and I remember my sister clipping these things out. She's 10 years older than I am. Sort of following everything that I did, moved along, maybe the spiritual sickness. That's what I went through, a lot of spiritual sickness. And fifth grade, the counselors in those days were different. They really cared about you and wanted to see why you, you know, why you're missing school and blah, blah, blah. Well, in fourth grade, I would miss school because of sickness. And when I would return, I'll never forget, Mr. Turner, I would miss days, and Mr. Turner would say, wait a minute. And he would get angry with the class. He would throw up something, new things that they had been working on. And Evangelist, at the time, I meant I would have the answer. And he would get literally angry with the class, and he would say something like, this child has been absent, and she comes in and know all the answers. Okay. So back to the social worker in fifth grade. Now, that's fourth, fifth. They were concerned about the absentees. So, of course, they put me in a lot of tests, psychiatrists and everything. Everything they threw at me, Evangelist, came easy. Just did it. And I remember the psychiatrist come out and said, you get her out of my office. Get her out of my office now. Her IQ is so high, she could have my job right now. He said, it's not the child that needs the help. It's the mom. It's the mom. From there to, I remember two teachers, my main teacher, Ms. Johnson. She wanted to take me home because she saw the potential, and she knew I wasn't getting what I needed at home. Mom said no. Then the art teacher asked, could she take me on the weekend? Mom said yes. I was allowed to go on weekends with Ms. Fuller. I'm saying this. As a child, I compare myself with Joseph. Joseph didn't ask for the dream.
Mm-hmm.
God gave him a dream.
That's right.
Joseph didn't ask for the coat. His daddy gave him the coat.
That's
people
right.
Don't realize. You don't know that you're anointed. You just know that you're different.
Oh, my God.
And they try because they see that difference. And I was in, I think, sixth grade. We were new in a neighborhood. And the young lady didn't know the girl next door didn't know who my brother was. She had got money from her mom's purse. And she was paying the little boys in the neighborhood to come and rape them girls. That was me.
Mm-hmm.
And it got in the wimp. She didn't know that she was in the midst talking to my brother. My brother came home and told my mom and all of us. And I cried. I said, I'm not going to school. I'm not ever going to school. He said, oh, yes, you are. That's the kind of big brother I had. Oh, yes, you are. And they better not touch you. And successfully went on to school. Safely. And do you know, in the newspaper, it happened to her. And they found her. And it was in the newspaper. That's how big it was. That's how big it was. So what I'm trying to say, and I'm not going to take long, I'm letting you know, when God puts the anointing on you, believe me, Satan has his agents out to crush, out to kill the anointing. That's when you hear me pray, Father, the anointing. They're not after us. They're after the anointing that God has placed in us. And that's when they want to kill our spirit, kill our flesh, the witchcraft, the jealousy. And you don't expect it in your family, but they did it in my family. In my family, because I'm telling you, I will walk away with awards, 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 easy. Not knowing that I was different. But I had a family that, even when it came to graduation, I was top 50. And I remember my mother calling the big sisters because they were all older and telling them, okay, I paid for everything because I had such high grades that I worked a half a day. And I worked a half a day my senior year and went to school half a day. That's how many credits I had. So, however, it was time for graduation. I could hear them say, I'm not taking her no graduation. I would have been the first, I was the first one to graduate. High honors. And didn't walk across the stage because they each said, I'm not taking her. She thinks she's something. So I'm saying this, watch out. Even with your children, pray and rebuke jealousy in your children. And I'm going to shut up. God bless you. Thank you for listening. And I love the message.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you for the topic this morning. Amen. It was him. It was him. It was him to put this together. Hallelujah. Anyone else have a question? Or...
Hey, Dr. Wilkes.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, we bless God for Mother Jackson. Powerful, powerful man. I always enjoy hearing Mother Jackson. But just think about this based on what she just shared as well, based upon your teaching. And I can look at our culture. And, you know, God showed me this some years ago through my studies, just in my spending quality time with him. Don't you know in our culture as a race of people, they implemented something in our race to keep us pairing, competing, jealousy, all of these things to keep us pulled down. They implemented that. It come from the enemy, but they used it against us. It really started in slavery. And that's why when you saw how the house Negro and the field Negro, they used the other words, and some people use the other word, but I say Negro. The house Negro felt like he was better than the field Negro. So even though he was still a slave, so it passed on from generation to generation, and that's why you see communities in our race the way that they are sometimes, and that's why if someone could come up out of the hood or the ghetto, they call it, they gave us that too. When we're pulled out of it, as Mother Jackson stated, how she succeeded. And how her own family member was envy and jealous of her because she succeeded in, you know, what God has established for her life. She couldn't help that, but she succeeded. They could have succeeded too if they wanted to, but it's a choice. It's a free will choice that God gives you. Now, we understand by disability and stuff like that, when you're born that way, but that's different versus, you know, you have talents and gifts that you can use to better yourself or better your community or better life. But it's been something that has been sold to us, given to us, and we as a people have to really recognize that and destroy it. And that's why, again, you see families the way that they are. Families are not like they used to be back in the day. If you have a family that's strong, knitted, standing together, that's very rare now. And it's powerful if you're doing it. And I could thank God for, you know, I could say my side of the family, my mom's side, you know, I can look at it as, you know, I could see a little division coming in that over the years since some of my family members have passed on and gone to be with the Lord. But the generation today, you really don't see that. It's really separated and divided us. And then you have where people are envious and jealous of each other because of what they have. You know, you got a college degree. You bought a home. You got a nice job. You're doing good for yourself. So people get envy and jealous of that because they still stuck. What is the reason of you being still stuck? You stuck in a place where your mindset won't change. You feel like, well, you now common, or you now stuck in a place of poverty or the ghetto, whatever you want to call it, and you can't come out. It's a free will choice. You can. You can come out. And if you trust God, people cliche and quote, I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me, but they really don't know how powerful that is. It's powerful. Mm-hmm. So I thank God for what Mother Jackson shared. But really, we have been sold something, and we have bought it. We have bought it as a people, and they use it against us. And that's why it keeps us in a place of, because, you know, one can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 in flight, the scripture stated. You know, if we join together as a team, as an army, we can win. So the enemy, he recognized that, so he uses systems to keep us in a state of mind, and here we go, we come against each other. That's the enemy's plan. So I just want to come back here to share what has been given to us, and we bought it. And when I say we, because we as a black race, I don't want to call the other name that he gave us. He gave us so many names, but we know who we are. That's when you know who you are in the kingdom of God. Can't nothing stop you. Can't nothing block you. Can't nothing hinder you. You can succeed. You can be successful in anything in the kingdom of God that you desire. Because he said when we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our heart. So thank you, Dr. Wills. Mother Jackson, bless you on this morning.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, people of God, anyone else? There is no one else. Amen. It's time. Hallelujah. We thank God for all that has been said this morning. Powerful comments this morning. Powerful questions for my youth. Amen. You just keep on. Keep trusting in God. We know the school, those of you that's in college or middle school or high school or elementary that may be listening in. Some of you may be in trade. You just try to think about what you want to do. You're in transition. Still, you haven't made up your mind what you want to do. The thing about it is stay close to God. Whatever you do, you stay close to God. He's going to lead you. And that you be able to be prosperous and have good success. But the way that you get that is to stay in him. Meditate on the word day and night. Amen. Hallelujah. According to scripture, that is in Joshua 1 and 8. But please, please, please continue to stay near the word of God. Amen. So that you can be the men and women of God that he's calling for. And you're not too young to minister. You're not too young for God to use you. You use Samuel. Samuel was only about 7 years old, you could say. He used Samuel to talk to help the prophet, the priest out, the prophet of the house. So he used David. Even David was a young lad. He can use whoever he wants to use, and you make yourself available. Be encouraged. If you have some struggles and stuff, call that at the corporate office, 877-912. I'm messing up the number, 877. Hey, administrator, I need you to help me. Why you said it is so long. But anyway, you can text 406-152. Administrator, what's the corporate office number?
877-912-2027. 877-912-2027.
Yeah. So did you contact us? You struggling with something, contact us. Somebody can pray with you. You don't have to sit there and go through stuff. Somebody in your family hurt you deeply and you need some help, you need some prayer, you need somebody to love back on you. We're here for you. Trust me, we're here for you. We may not be there physically, but we can be a listening ear to help lift that burden up off of you. So that it won't soak in and cause a seed of discord in your life. 877-912-2027. 334-440-6152. Utilize some numbers. Let it be a lifeline to you. Just because you are a youth, that does not mean that you have to be thinking in your sorrows, in your despair, in the things that you can't seem like you can't get delivered of. There is somebody to help you and pray for you. Remember, I said youth to me, my oldest child is 4. I'm telling you, you can get the help that you need. No matter who you are, what class, what race, whatever, be here to help you because God has ordained us to do so. And this is not just for us to be shining. It is to help everybody. So if there's no more comments or questions this morning, amen, let us pray. Kind Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the word that you have sent. Thank you, Lord God, that we can be able to eat it, digest it, and, oh God, hallelujah, use it to bring nourishment to our spiritual life. We pray, oh God, hallelujah, that there will be a change in us naturally and spiritually. We pray, oh God, hallelujah, if we have any of these things inside of us, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would forgive us, Lord God, for allowing us to operate and we to continue to walk therein. Lord God, we want to lay aside every weight sin that so easily to beset us. And Father, hallelujah, whatever it is that we have not done, we pray, oh God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, for the situation of deliverance that happened in our lives. We glorify you. Now, Father, as we leave this place, but not from your presence, we ask, oh God, hallelujah, Lord, those that need to be born of the Spirit, allow your Spirit to be first on them. We ask that those that need to be, oh God, hallelujah, born of the water that you would do, therefore. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. In the magnificent, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, people of God, join us tomorrow morning. If the Lord say the same, at 5 a.m. Central Standard Time for Team Simmons and the Marriage Forum. Be blessed. Minister.
Territory, fighting unseen enemies like never before.